swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Hello, Gloria. Is my husband in?
No, he isn't, Mrs. Cushing.
Honest Injun?
He had an appointment out of the office.
Very good. Which probably means he's in the men's room until I leave. Darling, I worked in a business office when you were still in grade school. I know all the questions and the answers. Where is he?
At the French consulate, 2273 Strand. Would you like the telephone number?
All right, you win. Gloria, how long have you worked
for Tony? 2 years, ever since we moved into these new offices.
And I must say, they're gorgeous. They simply reek with success.
We've done very well.
We?
Mr. Cushing makes every one of us feel important.
One of his talents, my dear. Tony loves to have young, good-looking girls around him, and you strike the perfect note. Very cool, very sure.
I imagine you make things very smooth for him. Mrs. Cushing, would you like some coffee while you wait?
How long will Tony be out?
I don't know.
Oh, come now, Gloria.
He said if the meeting ran too long, he wouldn't be back at all.
Well, then there's no point in my waiting.
I tried to suggest that, Mrs. Cushing.
Gloria, let me tell you something. You are very good at your job. But never, never take your boss's side against his wife, or you might find yourself out of a job.
I'll remember that, Mrs. Cushing.
No matter what Tony says to you in his more informal moments.
Mrs. Cushing, let me tell you something. Everybody in this office respects and admires Mr. Cushing. He's kind to all of us. He's considerate. And he's very fair. He works hard and expects us to. I don't know what you mean by those informal moments, but in this office, we just...
Gloria, I have just 10 minutes. Oh, hello, Claire.
Tony, I thought she'd be back. Gloria has just been giving you the keys to the city.
We couldn't run this business without her. Gloria, call the garage, will you, honey, and tell them to bring my car around in 20 minutes, and I'll get off a memo to you before I leave. It was a great meeting.
I'm so glad.
I want to talk to you, Tony.
Okay, okay. Come on in, Claire.
That's a very clever girl, Tony.
Gloria? She should be on our board of directors.
And with your help, I'm sure she will be.
Claire, I don't have much time. What's it about?
I'm afraid I need time, Tony. It's about several things.
All adding up to money?
Well, I really can't live on your idea of an allowance these days.
I told you to send in your expense account. Next.
Who is the new girl?
You're off limits, Claire.
You asked me for a divorce?
I don't intend to, again.
Because you don't really want one, do you? You'd be frightened to death of being free and available to the next attractive woman you happen to meet. Oh, darling, be honest for once. You like our arrangement as well as I do. Freedom with security.
Is that all, Claire?
What's her name, Tony?
Oh, no.
You've certainly changed. I wouldn't have believed it. You've never been like this about any girl I can remember. Nobody has seen her. Nobody knows her.
That's right.
You're being ridiculous. A little boy with his first date.
There's something of that in it, too. Yes, Gloria. I'll be right there.
Ah, the old gambit, the perfect secretary, knows when to buzz.
Hugh wants to see me.
But when he's finished with you, darling, I want to see him. Tony, you know I will never give you a divorce.
The laws have changed, Claire. You may have to.
You couldn't force it. Hugh wouldn't let you.
Hugh, be damned.
So you say, but I know better. You like your success. You like money. You're not going to upset the apple cart for a little nobody who's going to bore you to death in 6 months.
Claire, I'll make it as clear as I can. I'll never beg you again for a divorce. When I'm ready, I'll hire the best lawyer I can find.
It's been years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class has started.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Mr. Wolf.
Ah, here you are, Mrs. Wakefield.
I'm afraid you've been waiting a long time.
Not at all, not at all. It's been delightful sitting here in this fine old house. This was Arthur Wakefield's study, I believe.
Yes.
It has character, like the man himself. I take it you kept it just as it was when he was alive, hmm?
Oh, Mrs. Jessup, his housekeeper, sees to that.
Sentiment and tradition. The flowering of human nature.
What did you want to see me about?
Well, you got my letter.
Yes, but your letter only said you wanted to see me, not why.
Oh, it's a small reason. Sentimental, really. About Tom.
Oh?
Splendid chap. Great courage in the face of misfortune.
Yes, he had.
Yes, quiet endurance. Never asking to be understood, never begging for sympathy.
He was his own worst enemy, perhaps.
I knew that. I was deeply gratified that I could finally get him out of his troubles. Though it cost me a great deal.
But Arthur Wakefield paid you very well, didn't he?
You're talking in terms of money. I'm talking in terms of involvement. Well, I shall keep hoping you'll find something among Tom's effects. The document I once asked you about.
But you haven't told me what it is.
It's an envelope containing a sheet of paper that could have meaning only to me.
I see.
Oh, forget it, my dear. Someday we'll have another talk about it. Today I brought you something.
How nice.
Yes, something from Tom.
Oh?
I can think of no better place to give it to you than in this fine old house that you and Tom must have known together so well. And here you are.
I'm all thumbs. I can't imagine what...
He loved you very deeply. The last time I saw him, he said, "Steve, you're the only friend I have. Give these to Kate when you see her."
Oh, my lovely wooden beads.
You remember them?
Of course. Tom had them carved for me in Jamaica. I wore them all the time, and then one day I couldn't find them. I thought they'd fallen off a boat.
They're extremely handsome.
And so light. I thought they were too big for me at first, but Tom liked them. And so I learned to love them.
And they are just as you remember them?
I couldn't forget. The butterfly, the beetle, the fruit, and the flower. They're good luck. Tom had the letters of my name carved on every second bead. You see, think it was every second beat. I don't see any letters.
Well, perhaps you've forgotten.
No, I couldn't. I remember the K between the butterfly wings. Mr. Wolf, these aren't my beads.
Well, Tom gave them to me.
They aren't my beads. There are no letters.
The carvings are the same?
Exactly. I couldn't forget that, but they are not my beads.
Oh, very curious.
I don't know where they came from. There's a mistake or some very cruel joke. I'm sorry you went to all this trouble.
Well, why not keep them as a souvenir?
I don't want them. I'd rather forget them.
Oh, well, I feel rather foolish.
It's all right. Just take them with you. Excuse me. The phone. Hello? Tony. I am glad to hear you. Yes, I'll be here. He's gone. He left the beads. These aren't mine. Tom, you never sent me these. Why did he bring them?
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear All commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Day. For those of you who do not yet know me, I am author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray himself. Now, let me sound a warning. If there are any among my listeners who view with disfavor clandestine meetings between lovers, if eyebrows are raised that Rebecca and Rawdon, unchaperoned, are together in a dark room of a sleeping house, if even doubts arise that their affection is of as rapid growth as Jack's beanstalk, well, then I suggest you take your pious opinions to some dull entertainment that will suit you better than Vanity Fair. So, now we can move on. Recall, dear faithful ones, that though Rawdon and Becky love, they know one another hardly at all, and must perforce become, so to speak, acquainted. First, however, Rawdon needs must settle what has unsettled his mind.
Becky, Aunt Matilda.
Oh, dear, yes, we must talk of her, though I want only to talk of us.
Hang it, we won't talk of her. Only what she told me. Is it true?
Dearest Rawdon, is what true?
That you in London, I scarce can say it. Do you love a man there?
Do you love Lady Isabel Blessington?
What a question. No.
You told your aunt, you do.
You ordered me to say so.
Why did I order you?
Becky, you know why.
I want to know if you know why.
So Auntie did not think I could care for you.
And I told Auntie I loved a soldier in London so she'd not think I could care for you.
Oh, thanks be to God.
He hasn't even a name. Oh, I must name him, but not now. I want to talk of you.
No, of you.
Yes, we will talk of me, for you must know me as no one ever has.
I want that more than life.
You may not want it when you know. With others, I pretend, play act, wear a mask. Not with you.
Dear Becky.
Will I be dear Becky when I tell all? We shall see. Hold my hand. Don't interrupt. Only listen.
There's nothing you need tell me. Skeletons in closets, I don't care.
I care. Will you listen?
If you wish it.
I wish it. Hate it, but wish it. Only where to begin. Do you know Lord Byron's writings?
Not much, but I know him.
Lord Byron?
Mm.
You know George Gordon, Lord Byron?
Played at cards with him many of the time.
Oh, one day, may I meet him?
I'm not sure I'll risk it. He's a handsome devil.
Not more than you. Oh, the famous poet. To think you know him. Oh, shall we name our fictitious love after him? Gordon. And call him Gordy, shall we?
I'm jealous of that fellow, Gordy.
Oh, see what I've been doing. Putting off what can't be put off. I was about to quote writings of Lord Byron that describe Becky Sharp. I have not loved the world, nor the world me. And if I laugh at any mortal thing, 'tis that I may not weep.
You've had so sad a life, little Becky?
My mother was a dancing girl. She died when I was a baby. My father was a drunken aunt.
Becky, I don't care.
You have to know how poor we were, for that's what shaped me into what I am now. We lived in a cold garret. Sometimes we were hungry. Sometimes I had no shoes or dress to wear to beg in the street.
Beg? A little girl?
People gave the pretty child pennies, and her papa bought gin instead of buns.
Egad.
When at last I was indentured to Miss Pinkerton's school without pay, I saw how rich girls lived and dressed and were. I vowed I'd be like them one day. I would have money, pots of it, to make up for the hateful years when I had none. I still vow it. And I'll never change. And now you know.
My darling heart, what's wrong with that? Who does not want money?
Ah, not with the passion I wanted, nor would go the lengths I'll go to gain it. There's a saying, beggars can't be choosers. I defy it. This beggar chooses riches and will have them. Shall I tell you what lengths I'll go? Oh, you may hate me now.
Never. Nothing you say can change me.
Before ever you came to Queen's Crawley, I knew I'd try to win you because I knew Miss Crawley's fortune would one day be yours.
My God. That's why you... You... God.
Until I saw you, that's how it was. Until you stood above me with my pretended hurt ankle and you said, Miss, are you hurt? Until you took me in your arms and rode with me on your horse. Then it wasn't only money anymore. It isn't now. You're not to think it. Do you think it? Oh, Rawdon, answer. I'm that little girl begging for a penny.
Does it not take courage to remove a mask? Courage Becky had, and wishes now she hadn't. In her hands, a fine cambric handkerchief, sweet with lavender, twists and twists while she waits for a penny. My dear listeners, Rawdon Crawley has not Becky's way with words, but he does have another way. For answer to Becky's question, as on their first meeting, he has gathered her into his arms. Ah, the tender sounds and murmurings and whisperings my pen cannot spell out. Now, an hour has gone past while Rawdon and Becky got acquainted, and now they're making plans.
You will? You promise?
I will, my heart's beloved. I promise, but can I do it?
Oh, you must.
I know I must, but still the question. Can I leave you after tonight? Go to London after tonight?
Can you stay after tonight? Your Aunt Matilda will see and know we'd never dare be together or even near.
Damn it, we can stay apart, except at night.
What about that?
We have to meet, and in front of her, you know we do. How will you act? How will I?
I'll act possessed, I know that. I'll vow to Auntie I'm crazed with love for Lady Blessington.
That's what you'll vow, my darling, when you insist on returning to London.
You're right, you're right. Has to be. Dad, Becky, have you thought on this? When Auntie's back there, she'll demand to meet Lady Blessington.
Put her off.
She won't be put off.
Oh, for a little while you can, and oh, then, ah, what a pity. So handsome a couple, so promising a courtship.
Huh?
You've quarreled with Lady Isabel. All is broken off.
Huh. That'll do, I suppose. What won't do is you're here, and I'm miles away.
Oh, I told you. Miss Crawley will take me back to London with her.
You hope, you can't be sure.
I don't know how, but I'll manage it.
If Papa won't have it. He dotes upon you.
Sir Pitt will have it. He dotes more upon your aunt's money. He'll refuse her nothing.
Confound it. Until you come, I can't even write you.
Oh, you can, my love. Just not your writing or name on the envelope. And borrow someone else's seal.
Hang it all, what name do I use?
Gordy, whatever. Only what's Gordy's surname? Oh, no. Keiner.
Huh?
German for nobody. Gordy, nobody. The man I love, second only to Captain Rawdon Crawley, who I wish would kiss me.
My own Becky.
Oh, thank you, Captain Crawley. But, oh, dear, how am I to write to you?
Write, or I come back here.
How can I? How? There must be so... Wait. I'll post your letters to Amelia Sedley. She shall know our secret, and she'll send them round to you by her maid. Oh, I know we can trust dear Emmy.
Becky, sweet Becky, you think of everything. Solve everything.
All my life I've had to, or sink without a trace. So, my darling, my dearest, tomorrow or the next day you're off to London, though it break both our hearts. Ah, all is settled.
Settled? Is it? What makes you think Aunt Matilda will let me go?
I have not loved the world, said Becky, nor the world me. How it gladdens my heart to write that the world is beginning to love her, and she the world. Admirable listeners, this weekend I ride to hounds, but on Monday we shall try to fend off Miss Crawley, and once again I shall be your very servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
two doing this evening?
Oh, we haven't planned anything. Do you want to go into town or see a movie or anything, Aunt Maggie?
Yeah, what can we do to entertain you,
Aunt Maggie? No, I don't need to be entertained. My goodness, it's just nice to be here.
I'm afraid all the summer theaters and the music concerts are over now.
I do not need to be entertained. It's just nice being here.
Well, that's good. Maybe we should ask somebody over.
No, not on my account.
Well, I want to have a luncheon or a tea.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does. I want all my friends to meet you.
Oh, well, I've met them before when I've been here.
I know, but I know they all want to see you again.
Well, I thought if you weren't doing anything tonight, we might look over my Christmas card books.
What Christmas card books, Aunt Maggie?
I wrote you I was selling Christmas cards this year to make a little extra money.
Well, actually...
I told you in my last letter that I had some simply beautiful cards.
Yes, you did mention that.
I couldn't bring all the samples all the way from Montana.
No.
But I brought the best, and anything you choose will be done as quickly as possible. I mean, I have influence, since it's my friends who are making them.
Yeah, Aunt Maggie, actually, I mean, last week, that's what I was going to say to you. Bob and I went to a store, and we looked at the catalog.
Oh, you'll certainly find nothing in the commercial catalogs as lovely as what I have to show you.
Yeah, well, probably that may well
be. I'll bring them downstairs. Of course, there are many other samples, but I told Miss Esther and Miss Louise that I only wanted to show you their nicest cards. I'll bring them down right now. You'll just love
Well,
What in Sam Hill is Aunt Maggie talking about?
I don't know.
We picked our Christmas card. Why didn't you say so?
Well, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Anyway, I'm not that crazy about the card you picked out. I think something that just says season's greetings is very cold, dear. I really
do. Oh, well, what did you want it to say?
I don't know. I just really wasn't very crazy about it. So we can...
Look, she comes all the way out here to the East to visit us, and she brings samples of Christmas cards. I mean, isn't that kind of peculiar?
She needs money. Now, the least we can do is to look at them.
You think Aunt Maggie is broke?
No, but with the cost of things these days, and anyhow, she never has to very much. You know, she's just kept going in this small town in Montana. I mean, she's frugal.
She's tight.
Well,
I mean, she's a real penny pincher.
Yeah, well, she's had to be, dear. She's never married. Living off what her father left her with rising costs. Dollar isn't what it was, you know.
Why would she bring samples of Christmas cards all the way from Montana?
Look, she's probably trying to earn some extra money. Now, whatever she shows us, you be nice. Huh?
Of course I'll be nice. I love her. But I just have a feeling
Goodness, I thought for a minute I'd forgotten to bring them. But I found them in my other suitcase.
Aunt Maggie, I think I should tell you that Bob and I looked at the Christmas catalogs in
town. You would never find anything in those commercial catalogs as lovely, as really beautiful, as what I have to show you.
Yeah, well, what I was trying to say...
No, don't say it. Until you see what I have.
Well, the point is, Aunt
Maggie... Now, you don't have to buy anything. I just want you to look.
Well, of course.
You will love them. And they're not expensive, considering the fact that they are handmade.
Handmade?
Mm-hmm. Come on in the dining room so I can spread them all out on the table. You've never seen anything like them.
I'll bet. Handmade Christmas cards?
Come on. Don't hurt her feelings, huh? We can order a few.
Well, I think you better tell her we've got our Christmas cards and have most of them addressed and written.
We're coming, Aunt Maggie. Come on.
I'm not going to show them all to you at once because you'll never be able to decide. But I'll leave up to what I think are the loveliest ones, the really best ones.
Oh, well, fine.
Wait a minute. No. I know how hard it is to select your Christmas card, and you need to take your time choosing. So you sit down, both of you, while I make some coffee. Then you can relax and look them all over and make your decisions. But while I'm getting the coffee, you can look first at this first booklet. Now, close your eyes, because when you open them, I want you to be really surprised.
All right, Aunt Maggie.
Close your eyes, Robert.
No, I will. I certainly will.
There. Now, open them. Look at those lovely poinsettias made of velvet. Velvet. Real velvet. And the leaves are green velvet. Red velvet and green velvet. Did you ever see anything that looked more natural?
No, that is
fantastic.
Natural, Mike.
Yeah.
Isn't it natural, dear? Can I help you get the coffee, Maggie?
No, you sit right there and enjoy them. Because I have more surprises.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Here's your coffee. Now, how'd you like the velvet poinsettias?
Well, they're just beautiful, Aunt Maggie. Really,
aren't
they're
they?
Lovely, yes.
My friends Esther and Louise spent hours.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, don't decide on those for your Christmas cards until you see them all.
Uh-huh.
Here are some snow scenes which are just lovely. Esther and Louise sprinkled something on them, plastic, I suppose, but it looks just like snow, doesn't it? Just like snow.
Yes. Well, tell you, Maggie, I don't really like the sparkly stuff.
Oh.
I mean, it gets on the furniture and the rug and
uh-huh.
me, and it's all over the place. You know.
Well,
frankly, I.
Well, I think it's lovely, but you're entitled to your own opinion.
Well, they are lovely, really.
Now, I'm not trying to be high-pressure salesman, as they say.
No, we are.
The girls who make these need the money,
uh-huh.
and they work all year long at their Christmas cards. Actually, there are four of them, all sisters.
You mean four young girls make this stuff?
What do you mean by stuff?
Oh, Bob didn't mean stuff in that way.
Well, what do you mean by young girls? They're older than I am, for goodness sakes.
Well, I just meant you said four girls.
I meant they never married.
Okay.
I want to show you the nicest Christmas cards they make. Here. Now, these are real flowers.
They are?
Yes. They press the spring flowers in the books, and then in the autumn they have some way of outlining them in different colored strands of yarn. I think they are just beautiful, don't you?
Yes, I do, dear.
Sure.
Love. They're different. Aren't they different, dear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're lovely.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, you must realize that, Maggie, that Bob and I have so many cards to send out. I mean, we couldn't hope to have them all handmade,
Louise,
you know.
Amy and Melba are my dearest friends. If I told you, well, if I told them you needed 1,000 cards, they would stay up nights to make sure that you had all you needed.
Well, I'm sure.
I'll answer the door. You two just decide on which ones you want and how many
you want. Look, Bob, we better order some, whether we send them out or not, just to make Aunt Maggie happy.
These cards are pathetic.
Well.
They really are. Face it.
They're a little amateurish, I guess. But I suppose Aunt Maggie gets a small commission or a percentage, which helps her. Don't you know,
I guess
something
so.
To help
well,
her.
Well, look who's here. Another customer.
Oh. Hi, Evie.
Hi.
You remember Aunt Maggie, of course.
Oh, I certainly do. We were just
yes.
saying.
And you ordered your Christmas cards?
Oh,
no, Fred and I haven't been able to agree
your
on
problem
it.
Is solved. Now,
oh,
I'll get you some coffee so you can sit right down here and decide.
What's she talking about?
In a nutshell, Aunt Maggie's selling homemade Christmas cards.
Oh, well, I'll order some.
Well, now, I don't think we should let Aunt Maggie pressure our friends into buying these cards.
Well, I'm not being pressured. I like your Aunt Maggie. I'll buy some.
Well, here they are. These are dandelions. They're outlined in yellow yarn.
Oh, they're pretty.
These are marigolds. They're
mm-hmm.
outlined in black
mm-hmm.
yarn.
They're nice.
And they smell like marigolds, too.
Oh, you wouldn't think marigolds would smell when they're dry, no, would you?
Marigolds always smell,
oh,
as far as
do?
I can figure out. These are red velvet poinsettias with green velvet.
Now, look, I do not think my Aunt Maggie should browbeat our friends.
And she's got four little old ladies back in Montana just waiting for our order, apparently, now.
Yeah, but we have our Christmas cards and have most
but
of them done.
She doesn't know that, and don't tell her now.
I think it's sweet, I really do. I'll order some.
Amy, I'm sorry, you certainly, you know, do not have to order
but
any.
I think it's nice. These Christmas cards may be handmade, but now could you do it? I couldn't. And isn't that the spirit of Christmas, sending something that shows tender, loving care and work?
You're going to have me in tears in a minute.
Well, what's happened to the good old days when people made things for each other for Christmas? Sweaters and samplers, quilts and socks. And now we all just shop frantically, spending more money than we can afford for presents people probably don't even need or want.
Yeah, that's true.
So I shall order some Christmas cards from your Aunt Maggie, who is so sweet, so dear, and so helpless. And I want to help her.
Well, that's really very nice of you.
No! Here's your coffee, Mrs. Hartell. Cream and sugar. And I think, Peg dear.
Yes?
You wanted to have a tea or luncheon for me, hmm?
Yes,
well,
yes.
I think you should invite your girlfriends, and they can look over my collection of Christmas cards.
Well,
and I think we should have the luncheon next week, because I have to let my friends know just how many cards they have to get done.
Well,
because, as Louise says, it takes her almost an hour to outline a poinsettia with the velvet leaves.
Well,
oh, I didn't get you any of my black walnut cookies. I'll be right back.
Oh, I don't think your Aunt Maggie is so helpless.
No, neither do I.
I have sort of a feeling we're in business.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Yes?
Would you accept a collect call from Chicago?
Who is calling?
Kurt, darling. Curtis Rogers.
Curtis Rogers.
Yes. Yes, I'll accept the charges, operator.
Go ahead, please.
Hello, Lisa.
Kurt, where have you been? I haven't left the phone for days.
Oh, it's not so easy to call. I'm staying at River Run in the guest cottage, fortunately, but still...
How is everything?
So far, so good. Lynn's father is not very friendly, but that's no surprise. Tell me, what about Rene Noir, your friendly investigator?
Oh, I haven't seen or heard a word from him. Oh, darling, I miss you so much.
There is something of a problem right now.
What is it?
Lynn's father wants to know what I'll be doing after we get married.
Doing?
Yes, I couldn't very well say living off your daughter.
Oh, that is a problem. Why does he want to know?
Well, my guess is so he can be absolutely sure I'm not a fortune hunter.
Well, as long as you don't have to produce anything more than ideas before you and Lynn get married, well, think of some business you're going to start, maybe.
Yes, yes, you're right. I could say I'm going to be a distributor for ski equipment, clothes and so forth. Swiss made, something like that.
Well, that sounds good. At least it's something you can talk about.
But see if you can get some letters and some connections with some Swiss companies.
All right. I'll call on some old friends. When are you going to be married?
In about a week. Both Lynn and I are working on her father.
I'll see you soon.
Not soon enough for me, darling. I miss you so much. I have no one to talk to, really talk to. I can be myself with you.
I know. Well, it has to be soon.
It will be. Goodbye, Lisa.
Goodbye, Kurt. I wonder if it will really work. Oh, Kurt. Who is it?
Rene Noir.
Oh, Monsieur Noir. Well, come in.
You are a phenomenon, madame.
So I've heard. But you had no occasion.
Oh, no. You have supplied me with every evidence of your unusual talent.
Indeed.
I performed a valuable service for you, and misinform my good patron, Herr Hoffman, so that your Court Rogers can make a good connection for himself? And how do you repay me?
In Swiss francs, I believe. A large amount.
From what I have observed, that was an exceedingly small amount compared to what will be at the end of the game.
And from what I've observed, René, you were moving into an area that did not concern you.
And because of that, you had to deceive that poor Bertha Schmidt.
Oh, what do you mean? You were the one to deceive her. Fine wine and sweet promises at the Kronenhaller.
All at your request, madame.
Your method, René. And I paid you well to find the name of the person investigating Curtis Rogers.
Why did you have to tell Bertha Schmidt that I had deceived her?
I was not happy to pass myself off as your wife. You're not my type.
Madame, you go too far.
Oh, come, René. If you hadn't shown so much interest in Kurt and Linda Carter while they were in Zurich, I would not have suspected you.
You have arranged it so that I will never work for Herr Hoffman again.
I'm sorry about that. But I knew it was necessary to keep you from pursuing Kurt and Lynn Carter. Now they have left Zurich and are safe from you and what trouble you might cause.
Yes. They are in Chicago, are they not?
How did you find that out?
I saw them take flight 164 from Zurich to Chicago. By the way, I did not know that they were in Chicago until you just told me now. They could have gone on to another city from there.
So you haven't given up?
No, madame. You've only made me more persistent. True, you are a worthy adversary, but I doubt if you can protect your Court Rogers always. There are other places in Zurich where I can get the information I need.
Why do you want it? What can you do with it?
Mr. Carter of Chicago would be interested in the real Curtis Rogers story, would he not?
You did figure that out.
And now that you have made it impossible for me to work for Herr Hoffman again, I need no longer fear his opinion. And, of course, I need other sources of income.
You still cannot be sure of finding the right Mr. Carter in Chicago.
I can, if I have an address.
You'll get no information from Bertha Schmidt or Herr Hoffman.
Of course. But tourists in Zurich often lead a trail. The Swiss are great record keepers. Somewhere in Zurich, there is a little card with Miss Lynn Carter's home address on it, which could be her father's address, too.
Gnädige Frau, do you have a reservation?
No, I do not.
I'm afraid, Gnädige Frau, that we do not have a vacancy.
I would like to see the manager, if I may.
If you wish, Gnädige Frau, but I assure you...
I do not wish to register at your hotel. I have an important matter to take up with the manager.
Ah, I see. Just a moment. I will see if he is in. Frau...
Madame Scott.
Enter, please.
Oh, I hope this works. I can't think of where else he could find Lynn's address.
Herr Cliver will see you now, Frau Scott, if you will go around there.
Thank you.
Madame Scott?
Herr Cliver?
Please come in. What service can the hotel ladder perform for you?
I hope I can trust your discretion.
Always, madam. That is the first word a hotel manager learns.
A week ago, a friend of mine, Miss Lynn Carter of Chicago, a young American lady, was your guest.
I trust she found her accommodations to her satisfaction.
Oh, indeed she did. However, something most embarrassing has arisen.
In connection with her stay here?
Yes, in a way. She met a man who was not of the best character, shall we say.
The hotel cannot be responsible.
No, we know that. But the adventurer, which is, of course, what he is now threatening to exploit this friendship by telling certain people of it.
I don't understand how the hotel...
Unfortunately, he will tell where these meetings took place.
Here in the hotel?
Yes.
It is most unfortunate, but I do not see how we can prevent him.
Ah, but you can. He does not know her address in the United States. And without that information, he can do nothing.
I see.
And I have reason to believe he will try to obtain that information from the hotel records.
I see. Well, he will not succeed, of that you may be sure.
I knew you would understand.
Enter, please.
Herr Cliver, there is an investigator at the desk asking for some information on a former guest, Miss Carter of Chicago.
Indeed. I'll talk to him.
Very well, sir.
Madam, it seems you're absolutely correct. If you will wait here, you will see how we handle such matters. I'll leave the door open.
Thank you, Herr Kleiber.
I am the hotel manager, Herr Kleiber.
How do you do, sir? Here is my card.
Yes, I see. What can we do for you, Monsieur Noir?
I'm looking for Miss Lynn Carter of Chicago. She was a guest here last week.
For what reason do you wish this information?
My client has a debt he wishes to repay to Miss Carter.
Nice.
And if I could get her address from you, he could reach her.
Miss Lynn Carter of Chicago?
That is correct.
I'm sorry. The hotel editor does not give out information regarding its guests. If your client wishes to reach Miss Carter, he can write to her here and we will forward the letter.
I see. Perhaps
Thank you, Herr Kleiber.
Most pleasant to be of service, madame.
Ah, Madame Scott.
Monsieur Noir.
I should have guessed.
Perhaps you should, really. But then you were too angry to be thinking clearly.
I'm sure Daddy will give in.
Don't you think it's up to us? We're the ones getting married.
Well, as soon as he knows what our plans are, I'm sure that he'll...
What agree. Plans?
Well, what you plan to do and where we'll be living.
I see.
I'd like to work on the Jefferson Hospital newsletter, at least for a while, and it will help out.
Help out?
I'll probably get a small salary. Oh, don't tell me you object to having a wife who works.
No, I don't. Did you have to work?
Of course I did, silly. Do you think I'm as rich as Anne?
Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.